morning.
How are we all doing this morning? So I have a couple announcements this morning. What did I say I was starting with, Nick? What am I starting with? Oh, there we go. So we need some volunteers for doing lawn care. Nick and Alicia have been doing it up to this point. Dave and Judy should be coming in next month, but I'm no guarantee that they're going to be doing much of anything. And not that they're not capable, but I'm trying to take that. They're not getting younger. Hopefully they're not watching, but they already know this. So if you guys have some time, we'll create a sign-up sheet, and then if we can have a bunch of people rotating through that, and we have riding lawn tractor for most of it, and then some push mowers and weed whacking. How long does it take, Nick, Alicia, whoever you guys have been doing, how long does it take you?
It takes about an hour, when we do it.
Okay. So if somebody's doing it by themselves, it might take a couple hours. Okay, so you have 2 hours-ish, depending on your energy level, and so if we keep getting sunny days and rain, it's going to be growing, and sometimes it's a couple times a week, sometimes they keep it knocked down. But anyway, so if that's something that you'd be interested in, or do we have a sign-up sheet, or am I just going to talk about the time? Not yet?
Okay,
we'll make one. We'll have you scribble your name on, we'll fill you in. Anyway, next month, July, next slide. There you go. Is our family camp, not the one we just had. It's the one out at St. Teresa's. And so a lot of times, most people come out for the evening sessions. I can't see this. It's really small. What time does the session start? 7? 7 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
So 7 o'clock, Wednesday night through Saturday night, there's a church service, so we have worship, and it looks like, and then we have a guest speaker, Mark Fast, from down south, coming up and speaking. So anyway, I encourage you guys to come out and join. If you can come out during the day, there's all kinds of stuff going on. So I know in the past we haven't really announced that well. I'm really trying to do better about announcing this. I know it's a little short notice. I need to do a better job about giving you some more time. So that is July 5th to the 9th. So there you go. There's your announcements. All right. No, open a prayer, Emily, so I can put my guitar on.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings, Lord, that you have given us, Lord. We thank you for another day to praise your name and to glorify who you are in our lives, Lord. May this time be exactly that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand and worship.
Yeah.
child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God.
Father, we're so grateful for that reality. That as a child of God, we are no longer a slave to fear. Father, I know there's times and circumstances and seasons of life where we're fearful. And we listen to the lies of the enemy. We listen to the things that go through our brain that are not of you. And it fills with the fear and uncertainty and condemnation, and none of those things are from you. As a child of God, we are the most secure individuals and beings on this planet. As I always pray, Father, that we would not just know that in our head, but believe that to the core of our existence. Because when we believe who we are, that's a powerful thing. Because we are filled with your power and your love and everything that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn your
Father God, again, we just thank you that we have you to turn our eyes to, that you are there for every moment of our lives, if we're but willing to turn, that we're willing to follow you, regardless of where you lead us, because where you lead, there is life, there is fulfillment, there is power, there is purpose, there are all the things that we are looking for. May we not be distracted by the things of this world that would take away from that singular focus. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
So it's been an interesting week. Father's got me in a really interesting place at the moment. And so just be praying for me. Kind of walking through some things personally and just where my headspace is. And so that's all I can tell you at the moment. Nothing like, you know, devastating necessarily, but it's just, I just need a lot of prayer. I'm going to be walking into some pretty heavy things in my own heart and mind in the weeks and months to come, because it's going to take a while to root out some of this thinking that I've been going through for a while. But again, I want to reiterate, I've said this many, many times before from here, but I want to continue to say it. If at any time I've ever offended you, please, I beg you, come talk to me. Because I would like to make it right. I don't want you to get offended and wander off thinking whatever you heard or whatever I did say causes you to leave this body. So again, I just want to put that out there because I really want to keep short accounts, because I know I can say things that don't come across correctly, or what I think I'm conveying doesn't come across that way, or even a facial expression. My wife is constantly talking to me, man, you just look angry when you're talking up there, right? Because when I get intense, I get an angry face. So all those things, again, I just want to keep putting that out there, and I'll continue to say that. But I would ask of you, and again beg of you, to please come talk to me about anything, but especially if I have offended you in any way, shape, or form. And if you don't feel comfortable coming to me, find one of the long-term family members. I get it. It's not always easy to come talk to the pastor. So bring someone with you. I have no problem with that. Or bring a group of people. I don't care. Just please come talk to me, all right? So anyway, it was really interesting because in the place where I'm at, we had family camp up north this week. And so Wednesday, I got up there about 1 o'clock, and Emily and Brian came up for about an hour. But from Wednesday to Friday morning, I was by myself. And it was good and bad. I've learned that I don't do well in silence. I mean, yes, there's a river going by and all that kind of thing, but I learned that I don't do really well in solitude, and maybe I need to work on that. I like solitude. I've been talking to a couple different people about it. I do solitude if I can be like down in Homer, walk on the beach, and there's other people around. I don't have to talk to them. That's my idea of solitude. But being stuck in a cabin by myself, I wasn't in a cabin. I'm just saying, I was stuck in my truck or in a camping site, right? But a couple years ago, I went to Victory and spent about 3 days in this. And there was no cell reception, which was really good. I thought, oh, man, this is going to be awesome. I was up there for like 3 days, and I about went insane because it was just too quiet, right? I know some of you are going like, sign me up, right? My wife is that way. She thought she died and went to heaven if she could have that kind of time, right? So we're all wired differently, but that what was really cool about that guy just started working on some of the things that he's leading me through. And this kind of leads up to where we're into this morning in our Second Chronicles, this idea of turning from our wicked ways. Now, what the things I'm going through aren't these wicked things. I'm keeping all these secrets from you guys, but there's some things that definitely need to be rooted out. So we are in Second Chronicles 7:14 this morning, and we're going to obviously look into the passage of Scripture. But again, I'm going to do really good because I got, you know, it was about 15 or right before service started, I realized that all my glasses are either in the truck or in my house. So I'm going to be doing a lot of squinting this morning, try to read this thing. So, but 2 Chronicles 7:14, and again, we've been looking at this for the last couple of weeks, and I hope you're not getting like, oh man, this verse again. I don't know, every time I read over it, I just continue to see something new, and I see the progression, I see all these amazing things. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, and as I was thinking about that, and I know I've done this, I don't know if I've done this with this verse, but, and I don't think we're taking away from Scripture, and to make this really personal, we'll see if they're too strong. Oh, look at that, I can see, thank you. Woo. Awesome. I knew somebody would bail me out. Thanks, Teresa. So here's this, if my people, and as I was thinking about this, I was reading over this again, just even in, not even just preparation for a message, but just reading over this verse for me personally as I sat up there at camp. And I read this verse, if me, as Mark Sager, who is called by his name, by my name. So personalize the verse as always. I read this morning, personalize it to you. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It doesn't get any less powerful every single time I read it. And then last week we looked at seek his face, and it was interesting to me as I was thinking about that. It's like, wouldn't it be a natural progression if I'm seeking Father's face, then to turn away from my wicked ways? Isn't that a natural progression of things? And as I was sitting and thinking about that, it's like, it's not a natural thing. It's not an automatic if I'm seeking Father's face, because I have to ask the question, why am I seeking Father's face? Am I seeking his face purely for the relationship, purely to see what he would have to instruct me, what he would want to show me about who he is? Or am I seeking his face with a laundry list of things I want him to do for me? And then even if I'm seeking that in that pure place and Father starts to unload and he starts to reveal to me things that are in my life like he's been showing to me in this last week, the things that aren't easy to hear and aren't easy to see, and you've realized that you've lived in this place for decades in this spot and this person that you thought you were that you aren't. That's not an easy thing to hear and realize and come to a realization of. And I can do a couple different things with that. I can ignore that and go on my merry way and continue to cause destruction. Or I can turn and say, God, what is it going to take to root that out of me? What is it going to take to come to this place of like, God, I want to be this person, this son that you created me first and foremost. I have to, and it's hard because there's so many other relationships that how I've been living has impacted. And it's easy to look at all those other relationships and go, man, I got to fix all this other stuff. No, I have to fix who I am before my Father, before anything else. And it's hard because I want to fix all the other stuff, but that's a distraction. It's getting it out of sequence. And I need to get to this place where this continual seeking every single day, and that's the beauty of who Father is. Because I sat up there and I was reading his word in a way that, it's not like I haven't read his word before, but just sitting there in his creation, sitting at a picnic table under this covered space with the rain pouring down on a Thursday, it would just pour down rain, and it was awesome because it had a nice fire going. And it was quiet, other than the rain pouring down, a smell of fresh rain, a river running by. I mean, it's the most idyllic place you could possibly encounter God, right? So I encourage you all to come next year. But anyway, and I'll do a better job announcing it. But in that moment, just reading through Scripture, and yes, some of it was for preparation for this morning, but then he just, as he always does, he just keeps leading me into different passages of his word. It's like, man, why do I not spend more and more time than I already do? It's just so rich and powerful, and it's just like, and then the easiness to turn away from those things, those wicked things that are in my life, because there's still wickedness in here. Yes, I'm pure and I'm whole and I'm covered by the blood. All those things are true. They are. But when we get stuck, when I've gotten stuck in this rut of of how I've thought and processed and lived. It's a pretty wicked way. Because when I really start to see the impact that it's had on people around me and relationships, it's not good. And I can make all kinds of justifications. I can go, yeah, well, but, no, well, yeah, buts. It doesn't matter that other people have their own stuff. Yes, they do, and it's easy to point that out. But there's no power in that. There's no healing in that. There's no place of turning. That's not true turning if I'm justifying how I have been. That's that seeking Father's face with the pure intent of going, God, continue to show me, continue to shine the light that I want to change. And it's not an instant. I mean, I wish it was an instantaneous thing. I mean, I really wish it was. But that has not been my experience. If that's been your experience, awesome. But that has not been mine. Father takes me over and over, and some of it's my own stubbornness. And I was thinking about, God, I know there's all kinds of places. He continues to take me back into the Psalms a lot. And since we looked last week at seeking Father's face, we looked at Moses. We've referenced Moses quite a few times in this, referencing 2 Chronicles 7:14. But this morning we're going to look at another familiar passage with another familiar character in the Word of God. It's the life of David. I related a lot to David and some of the things he did and how he does things. But I love his heart cry in Psalm 51. So turn with me to Psalm 51. So listen to this cry of this man who has done some pretty wicked things. You know, we know this prayer is right after he'd had this affair with Bathsheba, and that wasn't bad enough. He had her husband killed. One of his faithful soldiers that he called in from the field so he could go sleep with his wife and spend the evening with his wife so he wouldn't, you know, be blamed for getting her pregnant. This man has so much integrity. He goes, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go home and enjoy a night with my wife. I'm going to sleep here at the gate because the rest of my soldiers are out in the field. And then David throws him under the bus and tells him, put him in the fiercest fight and then pull back and leave him exposed. I mean, wow. What kind of treachery? What kind of wicked heart? But what I love about all that mess, David is still called a man after God's own heart. So when I think about things that are going on in my own life and things I've done in the past, it's like, man, and it's not about like, well, at least I'm not as bad as David. That's not the point. The things I've done that is just as bad. Yeah, I haven't had an affair, and yeah, I haven't had that husband killed so I could get away with it. But the things that I have done in my own life are just as bad because sin is sin is sin, amen? Now, consequences are different. I'm a firm believer of consequences to be different. Forgiveness, yes. But sometimes the consequences for your choices and my, I'm going to get off that. I'm going to go down a bad hole. So I'm going to go where Father tells me to because I got so much up in here. Anyway, so here's this prayer of David. This prayer of David and his absolutely pouring out. I mean, we can read the words, but think about, as we read these words, think about the time you've had in your life where you have just been on your face before Father in absolute anguish over something that you've done. And I know what your experience has been in that moment. I pray that, because I knew who my Father is and who your Father is, that you received grace and mercy and love in the midst of that despair. If you felt anything else, that was the enemy lying to you. So here we are, the words of David in Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Oh, I love that word. Abundant mercy. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. These next words are so powerful. Against you, You only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Again, we're going through these things of rooting out things in our life. It's to God first that we have sinned, and it's to God first that we have to make it right. It's to God first that we have to make restoration and make that relationship right. Because if we don't get that right first, and we start going to all the external relationships that have been affected by that, I'm not saying there might be some kind of fixing in that. But my experience has been it doesn't last very long. Because turning from your wicked way, this true turning isn't a behavior modification. I need you to hear that. It's not a behavior modification so people get off your back. And I'm speaking, this is just my own little bit of life. I'm trying to be as honest as possible with you about being over-transparent. Because I can justify and I can do a behavior modification for a couple weeks, maybe even a couple months. But if it's not true turning away from that thing and going where God wants me to go, it won't last very long. Because I can only do behavior modification for a pretty short period of time. Then something will come along and set me off again, and I'll go down this path that I've gone down for lots of years. So this isn't about behavior modification. So we really need to get to this place of it's against you and you only that I've done what is evil in your sight. So that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your sight. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. You teach me wisdom in the secret heart. As I was reading over, I hit that verse. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. What's going on inside here? Not words I'm saying out here, good or bad. What's going on here in the inward being? That's what he delights in, the truth in the inward being. And you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. But I have to come to this place. We have to come to this place where we're willing to sit in that place and let God carve out that garbage that's in there. And like I have just realized this last week, this has been a decades of ingraining, entrenching rut that I'm trying to change and get out of. It's a very familiar behavior, and I understand it cognitively, but that's not good enough. Trying to change is like, I'm going to think harder, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to do better. Those are good words to say, but if they don't have a foundation of letting God really come in and root all this out, I'm going to fall right back into that place where I've always been, and I want to walk in a different place. Then David continues, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. When you get in these places, the ability to hear joy and gladness is impossible. I've been having my kids and others in my life ask me, Dad, what do you do for joy? They've been asking that for a month or so. And I don't have an answer. What brings me joy? I'm being pretty honest with you guys this morning, but that's where I'm at. What brings me joy and gladness? And yes, I have these things that there's momentary things, but this deep, unabiding joy and gladness has been missing and lacking in my life because I've had this thing that I didn't realize to the depth and the magnitude that it was. And I'm telling you, I want to get to this point, this paint when I hit this passage. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. That sounds like a pretty brutal thing, but I get it. I get it, man. I want to be whatever it takes, Father, whatever you need to do to me to get where I can hear joy and gladness again, man, I'll receive it. I don't like it. I'm not saying that's going to be all happy, happy smile on my face. I hope I'll do that nasty stuff by myself. But this is a process. And I come to this place, I hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Man, I prayed that. I prayed that, but I know that God sees it anyway. And I have to go back to the beginning of what we looked at. Have mercy on me, glory to your steadfast love and your abundant mercy. I know he sees all that, but if I go back and I continue to understand that his steadfast love and his abundant mercy covers all that, he's still like, yes, I know you're messing up, but I still love you anyway. I still have mercy for you anyway. My mercy for you is new every morning. And I have to rely on that when it doesn't feel like that's the reality of my life. And then, man, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And that's not just a, the experience that we have when we give our life to Jesus, that's that piece of salvation. But to live in that reality that I'm a blood-bought son, you're a blood-bought son and daughter who is precious in his sight. And any of you have been like where I'm at currently, or you've lived in those places, or you're currently struggling with something, it's like, man, we can be like David. It doesn't matter. We could come to the Father and just cry out to him if we're really wanting to change. If we're really wanting to turn from that wicked way that's in our life. And you would think, it's like, well, isn't that an easy thing? Isn't that something you want to get rid of? Right, it is. But at the same time, when you've done it for a long period of time, it's what's familiar. It's familiar. I have talked to many, many people who are going through really hard things, and you give them some advice. I was talking with an individual again this last week, talking about some things, and they were pouring out some stuff, and I was just like, so I was listening to God as he was downloading, and that's the other thing that blows my mind, right? So I'm in this place of crisis, yet God continues to download in the moment to talk to other people. I don't know how that works. I should be the last person talking to anybody. In my mind, that's what I think about. But yet here he is. He's just full of grace and mercy. And like, look, I've got you covered. I'm going to restore to you the salvation that I've given you. It's so much more than this one moment in time when you gave your life to me. It's this continual, like, man, just I'm just taking care of you. But there's some things that you need to root out. Because this is not who you are. And I love that my wife continues to say over and over, she goes, this is not the man I see. And I touched on that during Mother's Day. But my wife can see me like no one else other than my father. She goes, this is not who you are, so I'm not going to take anything less than who you are. And so she fights it and she wears herself out. Pouring into this stubborn old man. I don't want to be the cause of that wearing out. But I'm glad she's stubborn. So glad. But she continues to stick and speak and pray. Verse 17, we're going to close with this. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And this is not broken like if you've gone through experience of any kind of trauma in your life. That's not the kind of brokenness it's talking about. It's the brokenness of like, God, I'm broken before you. I don't have anything left. I'm not going to try to justify my thoughts, my actions, my behaviors. I really want to turn from the things, the ways that I've been living. so that you will hear from heaven, that you will forgive, and that you will heal. And we talk about land, we think about land out there. Heal this land to me is, can be that, but it's also heal this land. This land that's staying in front of you this morning. I don't want to preach too far ahead because I'm getting wound up about that. But because first I got to get to this point where I'm willing to look at my life transparently with no excuses. Until I can do that, the rest of it can't happen. I hinder God, which blows my mind. I hinder the creator of the universe from working in my life when I refuse to step in and say, God, break me down to however I need to be broken down. Because I want to be your son that you have in your mind's eye when you created me. I want to be the son that you have interact with all these people that I've encountered in my life up to this point and will continue in the years to come. I want to be and that's, again, that's not about me seeking any kind of fame or fortune, God forbid. But I do want to be the most receptive where Father can speak in those moments when I'm ministering to people and I don't know them from anything and they start talking about their life and I can like hear from God going, tell them this. Say this to them. Tell them how much I love them. Tell them that they can have a relationship with me. So this morning as we sing our final song, maybe some of you need to do some work. You can do it in your where your seat is, you can do it up here, I don't care. How honest do you want to be before your Father this morning? If it's a small little thing that needs to be corrected, keep it small. So much easier. Because I know for me, it's like, well, that's not that big a deal. You know, let's put it off. And all those little things start piling up. And then you got to dig all the way back down. Take care of all those little things. So this morning as we're singing, seek his face. And if he reveals something to you, turn from your wicked way. Now, that's a pretty strong word, wicked. But I think too often we make nice words to justify. If it's against who God is and his word, it's wicked. Father God, this morning as we close, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you do in my own life. And I know it's not going to change overnight. And the process isn't always easy. And it gets wearisome and we get defensive and we start justifying. Father, I pray not just for myself to not do that, but anyone else that's walking through some things that you're starting to stir in their own heart and mind this morning. Or maybe you have been for a while and they've been fighting against it. And the enemy's been saying to them and to myself, because I know the voice, he's like, it's not that big a deal. It is a big deal. Because it's not what, Father, it's not what you have, and it's not how you see us. And I understand how you see us. But Father, I don't want there to be anything between me and you. And I understand that doesn't have an effect on you. It has an effect on me. I want to receive and be in that place of clear, unhindered communication. So, Father, as we close this morning, I pray that you just have your will and your way in this place, not just in this moment, but as we leave from here and you continue to speak and you continue to work in our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.
God, again, I thank you that we can turn to you, that you give us those opportunities, and that we will literally get to that place where we ask of you to search and try our ways. And that's not a fun prayer to pray, because we know that if we truly ask that, you will answer that prayer. And you show us things that we don't always want to look at, but it is for our good. And we are beyond grateful that your mercies are new every morning, that your mercies are there in the midst of those, rooting out of those things in our lives. And every single day, if we're looking for it, you will show us and speak to us of how much you love us in your word, but also as we just throughout the day. And I've seen that over and over again the last couple days. It was just you and I up on that river. And I could just hear you so clearly telling me how much I was loved, even in the midst of everything that I'm walking through right now. And I know that's what you want your children to hear this morning, that you love them far beyond their ability to understand and grasp. In Jesus' name, amen. And you are dismissed.